John Alloy.
Talk about three things today. One of them was the danger of nuclear power generation with the Fukushima disaster as a background. The other was our work to try to establish a nuclear weapon-free zone in the Arctic, and as a first step, to have a Scandinavian nuclear weapon-free zone. And finally, Arne asked me to talk about a book I have written that tries to look at the different problems that are facing civilization in the 21st century and trying to see how they're connected.
John Alloy.
Will you please tell something about what you've done in Denmark and peace work?
Well, first of all, let me say it's an enormous honor to be here at the Assembly of Aldemir Cree. I've admired your work very, very much over the years, and I think that you do wonderful things. I especially admire Arne Hansen's work in creating an alternative medium, because our present mass media do such a bad job, and it's wonderful to have an alternative to that. So I'm very, very glad to be here. Well, I have been working in the peace movement ever since my student days, so that's a long time, certainly about 55 years that I've been working in the peace movement. I worked first in World Federalism, which believes in reforming the United Nations and giving it more power, and especially the power to make laws that are binding on individuals. Then here in Denmark, I'm chairman of the Peace Academy and also chairman of the Danish National Group of Pugwash Conferences on Science and World Affairs. Also, maybe I should mention that I'm trained in physics, in theoretical physics. Well, Arne asked me to talk about three things today. One of them was the danger of nuclear power generation with the Fukushima disaster as a background. The other was our work to try to establish a nuclear weapon-free zone in the Arctic, and as a first step, to have a Scandinavian nuclear weapon-free zone. And finally, Arne asked me if there's some time left to talk about a book I have written that tries to look at the different problems that are facing civilization in the 21st century and trying to see how they're connected. So let's begin by thinking of this terrible disaster that we saw in Japan, all of us on our television, triple disaster. First, a terrible earthquake, one of the biggest that has ever been measured, and then a tsunami, and finally the radiation from a nuclear plant that was damaged. So all of us feel a great deal of sympathy for the Japanese people, and we want to send help for the recovery of Japan. But also, I think we hope that this disaster, some good may come of it, if it makes other countries think twice before they build new nuclear power plants. The Fukushima disaster happened almost at the same time when the 25th anniversary of the Chernobyl disaster occurred. That was the 26th of April, 1986, where Chernobyl had its terrible catastrophe. And what happened was that during the early hours of the morning, the staff of the Chernobyl plant turned off the safety systems in order to perform a test. And the result of this was that there was a core meltdown in Reactor 4. And a chemical explosion, which blew off the reactor's 1,000-ton steel and concrete lid, and 190 tons of highly radioactive uranium and graphite were hurled up into the atmosphere. So the fallout there was much, much more than in the Hiroshima Nagasaki disasters, 200 times greater. And the radioactive cloud spread over Belarus, Ukraine, Russia, Finland, Sweden, and Eastern Europe. Finally, it reached even as far as Greenland and parts of Asia. The number of people who died as a result is a matter of dispute. People argue over it still. But according to a book that was published recently by New York Academy of Sciences, almost a million people died as a result of the disaster. 985,000 people. And also, if you count the people whose lives were adversely affected by it, that, according to a United Nations report, is about 9 million. And I can give you actually a personal example of the sort of thing that happened. I have a friend, a physicist, who was living with his wife in Kiev at the time of the Chernobyl disaster. And they were afraid to have children after that. And they waited and waited many, many years. Finally, they decided, well, let's try and have children. And then it was too late, and so they're without children. Since 1986, the rate of thyroid cancer in the affected areas has increased tenfold. And an area almost half the size of Italy in Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia is still so contaminated that it cannot be used. Even as far away as Wales, there are still hundreds of farms that are under restriction because of the radioactive grass, the cattle-eating radioactive grass. Well, public opinion turned against nuclear power as a result of the Chernobyl disaster. And if it had taken place not in Russia but in Europe, I think the effect of public opinion would have been still greater. However, because of the current energy crisis and because of the very widespread but mistaken, but false, belief that nuclear power generation is an answer to global warming, many people are arguing that nuclear energy should be given a second chance. But the argument against that idea is, first of all, that a large increase in the share of nuclear power in the total energy spectrum would have very little effect on climate change, but it would introduce unacceptable dangers, not only dangers of accidents and dangers associated with radioactive waste disposal, but even more importantly, dangers of proliferation of nuclear weapons. If many nations throughout the world decide to build power-generating reactors, the number of countries possessing nuclear weapons will increase dramatically, because it's almost impossible to distinguish between civilian and military nuclear programs. The used fuel rods contain weapons-usable plutonium that can easily be separated out. And even if the reprocessing is performed under international control, the uncertainty as to the amount of plutonium obtained is so large that even if the reprocessing seems to be in conformance with the rules, it might still supply enough plutonium to build many bombs. Also, many modern reactors use low-enriched uranium as fuel, and a nation like Iran, it's exactly the case in Iran, operating a reactor of this type might claim that it needs the centrifuges for enriching uranium to produce its fuel rods. But if they would just operate the centrifuge a longer time, they could produce highly enriched uranium, and so it is an ambiguous situation. Now, if we turn to the belief that global warming could be avoided by switching to nuclear power, we see that this is wrong. There's a very well-researched book by the Australian physician Helen Caldicott called Nuclear Power is Not the Answer to Global Warming or Anything Else. And she points out that if we make a detailed accounting of the CO2 emissions during all the phases of nuclear power generation, including construction, decommissioning of the plant, and mining, transportation, refinement of uranium ore, then the total CO2 emissions are comparable with those of a coal-fired plant. Also, nuclear power generation is not really renewable energy because the reserves of uranium are finite. In fact, there's so little that it's only enough to produce 25 terawatt years of energy. And you might ask, how much energy is that? And to compare it, think that the total energy that we use each year, the total energy use of the world is now 14 terawatts. So if the nuclear power supplied all the energy that the world uses, then it would only last for 2 years. Some people say that the energy from the uranium that we have could be increased by using fast breeder reactors. But these are extremely dangerous from the standpoint of proliferation because they use highly enriched uranium fuel rods and plutonium casing. And both those things are directly weapons usable. So if the use of fast breeder reactors became widespread, the number of nuclear weapon states would increase very much. So to summarize the arguments, the first argument against nuclear power is the danger of accidents, like Chernobyl, Fukushima, Three Mile Island, and Windscale. The second point is the danger of proliferation of nuclear weapons. Now, we can remember that all of the new nuclear weapon states got their weapons under the guise of nuclear power generation. The third point is that the problem of disposing of nuclear waste has not been solved.
Det tredje argument er, at problemet med at skille sig af med affaldet fra atomkraftværker, det er ikke løst.
And the fourth, at best, nuclear power generation can supply only a small fraction of the world's energy needs, and because of the limited stocks of uranium and thorium, can do so only for a short period of time. Then, as we heard from Helen Caldicott's work, the CO2 emitted by all the phases of constructing and running nuclear power plants, mining and refining the uranium and decommissioning the plants, is comparable to coal-fired plants. And finally, we should remember that in the countries where reactors are used for nuclear power, they receive a very heavy subsidy from the government. And if it were not for these subsidies, it wouldn't be able to compete at all in price with wind energy or solar energy. So it's very important that the subsidies should be taken away from nuclear power and shifted over to development of truly renewable energy. So let us really hope that this disaster in Japan will have the good effect of making countries think twice about building new reactors. I could say that Germany has already thought twice about it. Germany has decided to take down their nuclear reactors. But USA and USA, Obama is still offering many billions of dollars to support the construction of new reactors. So in spite of the Fukushima disaster, he's continuing along that line. And I can also mention that in the Baltic countries, Russia is constructing new nuclear reactors. And people who are close to those projects say that they're of a very dangerous type, and they're very worried about that construction. So that was the end of this first topic. Are there any questions or discussion about that? This is work by Helen Caldicott, who is a strong opponent of nuclear power. And I don't think she's at all speaking for the Australian government. She's speaking for herself. And about Australia in general, they're one of the countries that supplies uranium. So they have a big mining industry supplying uranium. I can say about fusion that it works already, but it works in the laboratory on a tiny, tiny scale with a big magnet that holds the material in place. And the investment of energy put into it is colossal, and the amount of energy that comes out is infinitesimal. So it's not even nearly close to being a practical way of producing energy. That's, I think, a pie in the sky.
When we discuss radiation poisoning and the problem with radiation, I think there's always been this, they say, okay, there's background of the radiation, and you have all these calculations, what is radiation anyway? And I've always been saying to people, well, don't get so scared about it. But the thing that Helen Caldicott, she always mentions, is there's also the other kind, which is the particles radiations. When you absorb a particle and keep it inside.
Yes.
Can you make me make me a little?
She emphasizes that in all of her writing. And she says she has thought about it, especially because she's a doctor. And the problem is that if you inhale, for example, radioactive calcium, then it gets, or strontium, radioactive strontium, then it gets incorporated in your bones, and it's with you forever, as long as you live, and keeps producing radiation, which perhaps after 25 years or after a long period of time can result in leukemia or other forms of cancer.
The effect it has on us is still very debated, how much numbers you can count on it, just like the Chernobyl numbers. The official number for Chernobyl is, I think it was 76 people or so.
Yes.
And then you have the after effect, which is which can be calculated to be maybe 900,000. It's very hard to do these debates because it's calculated stuff. And to say what really happened. And it's the same with this absorbance. I have never seen any undebatable material about it.
However, there's a consensus of opinion among doctors that there is no real safe lower level. All radiation is dangerous. We should avoid it when we can.